Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
All right, Ephesians 5. So that is also why I like to go verse by verse through scripture. I know some of you guys that drives you batty, just to be quite blunt. If I don't do that, then I will jump on soapboxes and I will pull out the scriptures. And I guarantee you that what we're going to have to talk about next week, I would skip over if I was doing just themes. And, you know, I would absolutely skip over, because when we finish up today, next week it starts out, wives, submit to your husbands. And I would skip that personally. If that were me, I don't want to touch that because then, okay, what does this do with family relationships and men and women and all that? And I would, that's just, you know, I would probably, if I just had my own druthers and wasn't being forced to go through verse by verse, I would dive over that. So that's what would be next week. But this week, let's read. And now, if you remember, the last two verses of last week are actually the first two verses of chapter 5, but we're going to go ahead and read them this morning anyway. So we're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 5 and go down to verse 21. Therefore, Paul writes, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality, any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For no one recognizes this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Excuse me, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done in them by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Let's pray. God, as we talk through this, as we have opened your word, as we kind of discuss this together, God, I pray that you would enlighten us by your Spirit. Would you give us wisdom on how this applies to each of us individually? We love you, God. In your name, amen. Okay, so we've read Ephesians 5, 1 through 21, and we've prayed. And so is there any observations or questions or concerns or enlightenments that you've had as you've read the scripture this week? Or I have in the past, love to hear it. Yep.
It says singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why so many? What's the difference?
That's a good question. So Laura asked there at the end, towards the end of chapter of the section that we're doing. Paul is telling them to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, some of it, and she asked, what was the difference? And this is probably not something we're going to get into this morning, so I'll just give you what I've read. I don't really know. None of us really do because we're 2,000 years removed, but there's some good guesses. So the Psalms, we know, that was part of their scripture, that was part of their holy text. For both the Jewish folks and even those who had converted, or who maybe not even converted from Judaism to Christianity, but maybe those who just entered Christianity through that door initially, and not knowing the other, what had happened thousands of years before, but that was still some holy scripture for them, as it is for us today. And so Psalms is obvious. Hymns is probably equally obvious, because they also had their own hymns. And the interesting thing is, I was reading a commentary by someone, I don't remember which one this was that I was reading this week, but one of them said that their thesis in when they got into seminary, like something they wanted to research and study was, what did the early hymns sound like musically? This guy was a music guy. And his professor discouraged him from it. He says, really interesting topic, but he said there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have tried that, and like nobody's been able to really pull that off because we don't really know. And so he talked through about how that was a bit discouraging because he really wouldn't know it, but how it also kind of, like, he's always kind of pursued that just as a hobby of seeing. But there were certainly songs that we know. In fact, that section actually may be from a song. That little section where it talks about that. Because if you look at some translations, starting with verse 19, so a lot of us have a translation that may have a colon after with the Holy Spirit, and so some translations like will indent that part. A lot of times when that happens, it's because it was a song of some sort or a known poem or something. We don't know that for a fact. I kind of tried to research that. There were some guesses that said that. I always, anytime I see like a different type in my Bible, I always try to figure out what that was. Was it something, maybe a lot of times it's an earlier scripture reference, but sometimes if it's not, it's kind of maybe this was a known poem or hymn or something of that nature. But we know they have hymns. And then the spiritual songs, what's the difference between that? I'll just tell you what I read, because that's all I really have to go on, and it made sense to me. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, I saw this happen a lot. But the supposition for a lot of, I didn't have it. Everything that I read specifically on that was either didn't mention that at all or kind of supposed the same thing, that maybe that was kind of spur-of-the-moment songs that came from the Spirit of God. They just kind of sung out to God without, you know, think of David as he's coming back from battle and he's dancing and they're singing these kind of spur-of-the-moment songs that weren't necessarily written down or known or repeated over hundreds or even thousands of years, but maybe they were just something someone was singing to God in the moment. And so that was kind of the best that I got there on that one, Laura. Although I didn't think anybody would ask that question, but I was curious of the same thing, so that's why I did a little bit of a dive in there. Anybody else with questions or comments about Ephesians 5?
It's just, you look at this chapter that you just read, the part that it's like, that's what's in the news every day, right? That's how people in the world live.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, what is it, verse 9, contrasting the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth to these ways of darkness that you've been called out of. And, you know, put off all these things. And I know, too, that in Romans, you know, I always take the stuff back to where it says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Because a lot of people say, well, if you're living in the age of grace, what does this all matter?
Right.
But it does matter. I mean, and that's what he makes the point. It's like, stop doing this stuff, even if that was your life before, to start doing fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, right. So Sue, for anybody who couldn't hear, Sue just brought out the idea there that specifically in verse 9, where he talks about doing away with what was darkness and putting on the, talking about the fruit. My translation says the fruit of light, or translation says the fruit of the Spirit. But these fruits of goodness that we know, and Paul even lists a few of them out here, just this idea of putting that away. And she even brought up the part from Romans where it talks about, why should I go around long sinning so that grace could abound even more? If grace is good, couldn't I sin and get more grace, which is this good thing? And Paul was very emphatic about that was not what should happen. And here he is touching it again to the Ephesian, the church at Ephesus. He's saying, put off what was darkness and put on the light. And in doing that, that gives us an opportunity to speak into the dark world. Because if we are also going around doing that, we got nothing to say. Yeah. So, what else? Colin? I didn't get to hear from you Thursday, Colin.
Yeah.
You got some catching up to do, man.
That's right. So, I've always been intrigued with the idea of being filled with the Spirit in the sense that if you can be filled with the Spirit, then there's the implication.
Could it be depleted? Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting change in the way I've kind of viewed that, being filled with the Spirit.
That's good. So Colin was, what Colin brought out for those online that couldn't hear him was kind of there as we go into that section where it talks about the songs, spiritual songs, and it comes out of this line that says, but be filled by the Holy Spirit, and then it talks about what that may look like, speaking, well, let me just read it. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And Colin was saying he always was intrigued by the filling of the Spirit, but that language of being filled by the Spirit also implicates that maybe you couldn't. That maybe the Spirit wouldn't be in you, and what does that look like if it is? And he always thought that would be this thing of joy, and that certainly is here where it talks about singing and giving praise. But he said he never really kind of tied that in with the Thanksgiving piece and this kind of constant idea of Thanksgiving, which this verse 21 or 20 definitely does. So that's good. Anything else? Jude's not back there. Jude, are you back there? Is anything online? It was hidden behind that big monitor.
But
yes.
I just think what Colin said is so important because I was reading a book by a man who it was about overcoming cancer, and he talked about the importance, what he was talking about, giving thanks and how that helped him renew his mind and accept the promises of God for his healing instead of what he saw as rebellion. That he actually attached it to the rebellion of the old man nature, that if you didn't do that, if that's what was springing from, the rebellion of the old man nature. So, like, you know, these promises of God come to pass in your life as you give thanks and as you renew your mind. So it grabbed me. I mean, I'd never connected them myself before either. But I thought, oh, that's more important than you think it is.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Sue. Sue just kind of, for those who weren't in the room, she had a good analogy from a book, which I'm going to screw up at this point if I try to say it, but it was just about a guy who was dealing with cancer and that this attitude of thanksgiving he felt kind of helped unlock some things of what God would do in his Spirit through that. And actually, that's what we're going to talk about a bit today. Was there anything online, Jude? Okay. Saw y'all thumb wrestling back there. I wasn't sure if that was because y'all wanted to read it or trying to find it. But what I think that Paul, Bill can testify to this. T- Ted can testify to this. He's joining us online. Thursday, I asked the group, because I think this section of Ephesians can go one of two ways. And I said, and I told him, I said, here's the way that I think that makes the most sense to me in this moment. Because I think that one of the things we could do is focus on the list of what the darkness looks like. And Paul's got a number of things in there. And then also focus on the things of what it looks like to walk in light and just kind of focus on these actions. And I said, or we could focus on the overarching theme. And I think what, and I told them, I said, here's what I'm thinking. They said, yeah, I think that's a better thing than just let's talk about what sin is and what it looks like to not sin. Because yes, that is in here. And that actually has a part in what we're going to talk about this morning. But I think what Paul is building more than anything else is this theology of thanksgiving. Having a view of God in such a way that it draws you to thanksgiving. Because what Paul is doing is, yes, at the beginning, he lists off some things. And basically, he's saying, don't be these people. He kind of lists these things. He kind of tells some consequences of it. And they're bad consequences. I mean, let's just be honest. He starts out, be imitators of Christ, which we acknowledge is hard, but we gotta, I mean, we're instructed to more often than not. I mean, Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. How do we do that, right? Outside of just falling at the feet of Jesus and like, I need you to do it for me because I can't. And I think that's the point. But he also says, walk in love as Christ also loved and gave himself for us. What does that look like for us to walk in love as Christ also loved and gave himself for us? I mean, actually, the answer to that is at the very end of that. It's sacrificial. He loved us so much, he gave himself for us. And so there's this sacrificial piece to it. And then he goes into some lists, and he lists three things. And if you notice, he lists them in the exact same order twice within a couple of verses from each other. He says this. But the sexually immoral, any impurity or greed shouldn't even be heard of among you, as is proper for the saints. And quite honestly, he went with those, and I think that was a summary, because I bet if we went through the Ten Commandments and then all the subsequent laws that were kind of derived from that, we could draw them down to these three things: sexually impure, sexually how does he say it? Sexually immoral, impure, or greed. And then later, just a couple verses later, in verse 5, for know and recognize this, that every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So the consequences are rough, right? But in the midst of that, here's what Paul writes. And he actually goes more with lists. Obscene and foolish talking, crude joking are not suitable for you, but rather give thanks. So he's saying, don't do these things. What you should be doing is giving thanks. Thanking God. Well, why? Why would you thank God? Well, God's done a lot, and we can start listing that out. But think of who he's writing to. He's writing to a church in Ephesus. Would the people of Ephesus have known what it looked like to be sexually immoral? Yes. There was all kinds of it that went on at that time. We're going to speak very generally because the kids are with us this morning, but it just was all kinds. From the temples and the holy life all the way to just the commoner. Like, it was just a part of who they were. And now, for those who converted, for those who came to know Jesus as their Messiah, Lord, and King, then now they're asked to change. Can you imagine what that would be like to live in that kind of society where that was celebrated openly? All those things, the impurity, the greed, the sexually immoral, all that stuff was celebrated openly. And now, and you may have known that for 20, 30, 40 years, and now you convert and they're saying, don't do that. Can you imagine the temptation to continue? It surrounds you everywhere you go. Not only was it ingrained in you for that long, it surrounds you everywhere you go. I imagine Paul knows his audience very well. And he's saying, hey, I know this about you. And here's the consequence if you keep doing it. So live in thanks. Why? Because God has saved you out of that. And that even when that temptation comes, and let's just say, worst case scenario, you fall into it. What has Jesus done for you? There's this thing called atonement, right? Jesus stood in your place. When God looks at you now, he sees the perfection of Jesus, not all the boneheaded things that you did. So give thanks. And don't just celebrate this other thing that you did for so long, flippantly and continually, but give thanks that God has called you out of it and has given you the ability to resist the temptation. And then also when you do, he forgives you. And his Father looks at you and sees his perfect Son. What a beautiful thing. What a reason to give thanks. Now, he didn't say all that in those couple of verses, but I can point you to other places in Paul's writing where he fleshes it out even further. Fun thing was, this week, we're reading through this scripture, and I didn't even put two and two together, but Ben and I are driving back from basketball practice on some night this week. I do not remember which night it was. We have switched from soccer to basketball now. And not permanently, but just for a period of time. And he was asking me about, we had talked about some things. And for those of you who know, like, Jude is a big fan of the band Queen. And if you know about their singer, wasn't the most moral person. Or probably the band, I don't know, Ben was asking me, they said there was a line in there that said something to the effect of, God only knows was the line. And it was a phrase, and he didn't know that phrase, but because I used the word God, he asked me, are these guys Christian? I said, I don't think so, bud. And I told him about the lifestyle of the singer and what that meant and kind of how all the other fruit of that band probably didn't point to the fact that they believed in God or followed Jesus. And that sparked a conversation about what sin look like and how does someone live forever and, you know, could they be forgiven even if they live that lifestyle and all these kind of things. And it was this beautiful conversation between Ben and I where we talked through some of that. And, you know, the questions revolved around the orientation of the singer. And could that person still be a Christian at some point? I said, absolutely. In the same way that we all sin. We all just bend to something that's going to be wrong. And the beautiful thing is that we are forgiven if we repent. And I told Ben about the scripture where we read, if you confess with your heart, or excuse me, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from dead, you'll be saved. But Ben said, well, we're still going to screw up. We're still going to sin. He had gone to church camp with a Baptist group. If you know anything about Baptist group, the Roman road is like a big deal. And so he knew that scripture from Romans where it talked about everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're absolutely right. We're all going to do that. And God has done this. And how cool is it that when God looks at you, he sees his perfect Son. If you have believed in him, if you confess with your mouth. And so Ben's like, Jesus is Lord. And I heard him say, I was like, yeah, that's right. And then I didn't think anything of it. And he said, no, I was confessing with my mouth. And I was like, you don't have, like, yeah, you can confess it all you, but it almost was like, I want to get it out there so it's known. I was like, you don't have to live in fear, bud. You did that. Remember when you were baptized and we did that? You did it then. I said, so now you can just trust. I said, you can confess it as many times as you want. I mean, I do it multiple times a week. And on Sundays, Paul did it through his whole career, right? His whole life. But what does it look like to not live in that fear, bud? Because God looks at you and he sees his perfect Son. Not all the boneheaded things you did. If you believe him, what, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a cool thing? Isn't that great that he does it? He's like, yeah. I said, so it's so much better, in my opinion, to be drawn to God's love because of who he is, what he has done for us, and this thanksgiving, rather than being scared into the kingdom of heaven because we don't want to go to hell. So it gave Ben and I a chance to talk about that. Although Paul doesn't shy away from. There are consequences. In fact, he's basically said, if you are these people, like if this isn't just an action you do that God forgives you for, but this is who you are, right? If you are sexually immoral, if you are an impure person, if you are greedy, an idolater, then you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. There is absolutely punishment and consequence for that. And so Paul says, as a result, let no one deceive you, because they will try. Because here's what the disobedient do. And then I love this line that Paul says, or the way that my translation puts it. Verse 8, he says this, and this translation I'm reading says, for you were once darkness. Not you were once living darkness, but you were once darkness. Everything about you was dark. But now you are light. Because you believed in Jesus, everything about you is light. So as a result, live as children of the light. Paul is calling them, saying, you got to live like this, even though there's temptations around you. And you may fall. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light comes from all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. And then he goes a step further and says, again, goes back to the dark part, says, don't participate in these fruitless things, these fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. And it talks about these things that are done in secret will be exposed, because what exposes things, Paul tells us, light exposes things. And so you hold things up to the light as exposed. And that can go one of two ways. We see it play out nearly weekly, both in the church and outside the church. But when light and truth are held up to something and it's not there, then it's obvious. And when people are exposed to light, it goes one of two ways, generally. They either become hard, bitter, angry, living in denial, this isn't true. Or they're thankful because God revealed something that was dark in their heart. And it's like that correction. Nobody's thankful in the midst of correction, but the fruit of that, right? My kids don't like it when I correct them, however that plays itself out. I got confirmation. That's basically, yeah, mom is basically an amen. I will take it as an amen. But when they grow up to be productive citizens of society that are free and not living in prison, that can pay for their own stuff and can be productive, I hope they look back on that correction and are thankful. And I know they will be, because I am living proof of that, and most of us in this room are living proof that we were thankful that at some point, whether it was from our family or whatever it is, that we learned how to engage society and how to live. But it hurts when those things are exposed, when we have to deal with correction. But Paul is kind of driving us again to this theology of thanksgiving. He starts out and says, hey, in the middle of these things, you got all these things going on. Don't do that. Give thanks. And then he gives us some things. He talks about this exposing of the light, of the darkness because of the light. Everything exposed by light, verse 13, will be made visible. For what makes things visible is light. Therefore, it said, get up, sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. He gives us another list, right? Or gives us another action. He talks about not getting drunk with wine. And the way he says it, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. We've all been witness to that to some degree. But be filled by the Spirit. Colon, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Paul's giving us these lists of people. And I don't think he's like saying an us versus them, right? He's saying, hey, this was you. Everything that surrounds you is still pointing to this. The temptation is still there. Stay away from it. Don't be those people. Instead, give thanks to God because he's brought you out. When you screw up, give thanks to God because he forgives you. Because his son has still stood in the gap for you and has become perfection for you. So live in a way where you are giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all those lists that he gave were all things they knew very well, probably saw daily, and were likely tempted to do daily. Maybe they fell into it from time to time. Don't do those things. Be who you are. Be people of light. You are light. Because that other stuff will be exposed, and when it's exposed, it corrects, and hopefully it corrects, and hopefully you accept the correction, right? And so be people who give thanks. Give thanks always. Why? Because God has been so good to us. God has loved us so much that he sent his only son to stand in our place so that when God the Father looks at us, he sees the perfection of Jesus. It reminds me, now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to present you in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy. I love that. I look at my life and I see lots of blemishes. And the promise from Jesus' brother Jude so that he can present you in the presence of his glory without blemish and not reluctantly but with great joy. What other thing do we have to be thankful for than that? We don't have to live in fear. They are selling fear like it's going out of style. I mean, everywhere we look, you're selling fear. And Paul's not naive. I mean, Paul's saying, hey, there's some dark things, there's some bad things, things that could keep you out of the kingdom of God. But live your life in this way that you're thankful. Thankful for what God's done and who God is and what he has done for you. Then we can read in John how perfect love drives out all fear. God's perfect love drives out all fear. You don't have to be afraid. And when you don't, and when you get it, man, it could be Thanksgiving every day. And that's what Paul wants. That's what Paul's trying to encourage this church to be. Be thankful for what God's done to you. You don't have to live in this. You can be thankful for who he is and what he has done for you. And when we live lives like that, I promise you, that we will look different. We will be that set-apart people that we read about in Genesis when God says, hey, here's how I want you to do things. In fact, for a period of time, I'm going to create a cloud that's going to go, it's going to kind of separate you from people. Like, you're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to be different. And we're people who can live without fear. Fear is being sold every day, but we can live with thanksgiving and gratitude. Man, we look different. What is more different in our society now than someone who is able to walk without fear? Not be scared of everything they're trying to sell us on the news or the political party is trying to tell us will happen if the other party gets elected or stays elected or however it goes. But we just get to be people with gratitude, loving and thanking God because he is ultimately in control and that's all we have to worry about. And that's no worry at all, right? When God is in control, that is no worry at all. So as we move towards Thanksgiving this Thursday, we're going to pray. But let us remember these words as we move through our week, that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in constant regret. We don't have to have this guilt where we always have to go to confession for every bad thought we ever had, that we know that God loves us, forgives us, and we can just say, God, that wasn't of you. I'm sorry for that. Thank you that you've forgiven me, that you knew. In fact, this is what I told Ben. How cool is it that God knew what you were going to do and he still came and died for you, that you knew I needed a Savior to come? That God, in your goodness, you knew that. And so thank you so much. And then we can just move on. How beautiful is that? Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you that while if we forced ourselves hard enough, we could think of a lot of wrong and bad things we've done. But God, you are good, and you are light, and you have caused us to be light, not because we deserved it, but because you are good. God, may that drive us to a heart of thanksgiving. Not just this Thursday, not just this week, not just this month, but daily. May that be stay on our hearts and our lips, that we are so thankful for what you've done and how you have not only forgiven us, but also given us the ability to forgive others. We don't have to harbor. We can live in freedom. God, that's such a beautiful thing, and we are thankful. Forgive us, God, when we don't make that mark, but thank you so much that you do forgive us. God, would you lovingly correct us and remind us so that we could be people who point to you by the way we live. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have I invite you to stand with me if you're able. We're going to say a nice Nicene Creed together for those in the seat pocket in front of you. If you join us online, it's in the notes section. Once we get done, we're going to sing a few more songs, and there's communion up here if you choose to come and partake. So join me as we say these words of the Nicene Creed, saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.